1-800-522-1222. The Sikkim 365 radio text line is sponsored by Riverbend Liquor and Wine, with the most extensive variety of craft beer in Waco, a hidden gem on Lakeshore Drive and 19th Street.
You know, yesterday I had the opportunity, Armstrong was in studio, to sit down with Coach Taft, Grant Taft, for an hour. We're going to replay that at some point again. It's on the site, Sikkim365.com. And a lot of things that I asked him were because I reached out to various people that might have some stories that maybe had never been told before. So Pete Fredenberg, everyone knows Coach Fredenberg, the multi-national championship coach at Mary Hardin Baylor, former defensive coordinator, here to kind of talk about both of those, joins us on Sikkim 365 Radio. Pete, thank you for your time. Thanks for the conversation on Sunday evening. And I want to get into the Hotel Liberty Bowl fire alarm story with you. That was interesting. I don't even think his daughter, Lane, who was in the studio, had ever heard that one before.
Really? Oh, it was awesome. It was crazy because it brings back such fond memories of so many wonderful people. But, you know, the ensemble of people rushing out of their hotel rooms down to the lobby at 3:30 in the morning. And, you know, once we realized we were going to be safe and everything was a false alarm, then you started just noticing and checking out what people had on and had been interrupted in the middle of the night and on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. And Karen Goff came down in a light blue sweat pants and top with a red heels shoes. It was crazy. Linda James, who always dresses immaculate, she came down and she just, Karen was going around taking pictures, and Linda James threatened her to, without her makeup on, she would kill her. hilarious. And, you know, it was just crazy, but it was the thing that was most interesting and unbelievable was Coach Taft and wanting to know who set it off and asked me to go find out. And I visited with several of the players that were down there, and they said, and they indicated to me that John Simpson had done it. And then that's when I said to Coach Taft, well, to send him home the next morning after gathering more facts. Coach Taft, and his infamous way of keeping things under control, said it wasn't just John Simpson, Pete. It was Ray Berry, our All-American linebacker. And I quickly said, well, we'll discipline him when we get him home after the game. And Graham just laughed, and it was funny. It was really interesting.
And he did say yesterday that those two guys played for their lives, like you had mentioned, that they were petrified, and both won the MVP on either side of the ball.
That's right. Offensive and defensive players. And we played LSU, which was a huge challenge for us, and beat them. And it was a great experience. But that night was memorable, and I just cherish those memories so much with when things like that happen. You know, we were doing Christmas, and Karen had to be careful, and we had to get our three kids down 16 flights of stairs, and it was hilarious. And, you know, they tell the story that John Goodner wasn't sure that it was really a factual fire alarm, and he went to the wall, he tested to see if the door was hot. Then he opened the door and people were running and up and down the hall. So he just took off running and left Karen in the room with her by herself.
Oh.
So that he was taking care of John Goodner at the time.
Well, you know what I realized when I reached out to multiple people, including you, Pete Fredenberg, head coach at Mary Hardin Baylor, was that so many people wanted to be a part of having their stories shared. Yours, Gary Don Johnson, Andrew Mellentree, others, you know, many of them that reached out to me. Even Mike Singletary got on the phone with me a little bit too and gave me some stories as well. I know you've now been at this dynasty that you've created at Mary Hardin Baylor, but you know what? That core of what you guys did at Baylor is what set the tone for them to become relevant, because up until, what, 74, Baylor was basically irrelevant when it comes to athletics.
It was an amazing time in our lives, and it was a wonderful experience to be there and to watch the development not only of the program, but the quality of players and the coaches that came through, and the effort, and you know, and you got to tip your hat at Grant because he's the one that did it all, and was the one that had the vision and kept us all together, and he did it in a first class Christian manner, and I will always be indebted to him and what I learned in those years that I spent with him.
Pete, you guys ran the table 5-0, shortened season, beat Mary Harden Baylor to capture a conference title. I haven't had you on because last year, of course, in the fall, you didn't have a season, but you kept guys, you know, grinding towards playing something. How weird was it? And how weird is it you just finished your season less than a month ago?
It was really weird. It was spring in the fall and fall in the spring. We only had two of our players come down with COVID. They had to miss some time. So when we started in the spring and started the 5-game schedule, what we split the conference up into East and West. We were in the East, and Harden Simmons was in the West. We both ended up 4-0, and we played the championship match in Abilene. It was a great win for us, and obviously it will carry over. The great thing is that, well, you know, one of our starters, senior Steve Sellers, will graduate and already has a job, so we're going to miss him. Kadarius Daniels also already has a job, and we're going to miss him. But the rest of the seniors are returning, obviously, because the NCAA, you didn't lose any eligibility during the COVID era. We had a great experience. It was a wonderful win in Abilene, and you know, hoisting the conference championship there in their stadium was awesome. And then we get back, and on Monday, our coaches started feeling bad, and we ended up with 9 coaches out with COVID. I was fortunate because I had been vaccinated, and another one of our coaches also had been vaccinated. So we were not touched, but the rest of them have just now started coming back to work, and it was a tough deal for us because everybody in the press box in the coach's booth all got sick, and so then it filtered over to some others.
Yeah,
crazy.
You just never know. And we saw what Baylor's men's basketball team had to deal with. The women even before that had to deal with it as well, and a lot of teams did. About the time you might feel like everything's fine, then all of a sudden there's a flare up as well. Pete, you know, you look at your record, and I've got all of what you've done since you started that program from scratch, literally from scratch in 1998, and all of what you've accomplished. And I know that, you know, recently there's been things that have happened and whatever else, and people can debate all of that forever. When you look at what you've done, it's Picasso, right? I mean, do you have a Mona Lisa of a football program based on what you've accomplished?
It's been an incredible experience, and you know, I really and truly, when I took the job, I wanted to stabilize Cody's life. Cody was a sophomore; he had left Waco, and then we'd go to Baton Rouge, and then we left Baton Rouge and went to Ruston. And so I just thought, well, I want to get him in a place where we can finish his high school career. And so then I thought maybe I would head back into Division One. This has been an extraordinary experience, that largely because of the quality of people that you deal with. You know, the university has been very gracious to me and to my family. But the thing that I would say the most overwhelming thing to me is guys that come and play the game that they love to play just so they can play it. They don't get scholarships or any kind of aid. They pay for their education and play the game that they love. And, you know, that means so much to me. And it's been such a rewarding experience. So it's been fun developing it. Obviously, the wins have been a thrilling part of it. And we love that. But the reality is that it's just been great to deal with such quality people and see the development of this program.
Yeah, the records ever since really after your first couple of years when you guys were just figuring it out from that point on, I realized there's been 1 year since 2000, excuse me. You had, you know, a couple of teams, of course, had two losses, but only one team, 2006, had three losses. And other than that, I mean, you basically have run the table or lost just once, and sometimes you've lost in the semis or the championship or whatever else. What do you say? How do you sell, Mary? You got beautiful stadium, Drayton McLean and what he's done, and you guys have built this amazing run. What do you say to players? Because even though it's Division III, there are talented players on your roster that are better than what would be considered, from some people who don't know, Division III football.
Oh, man, yeah, there's so many good players. And you know what happened to me was when I got into the nuts and bolts of it in 1997, they hired me to just kind of start the program and hire coaches. And so my goal was to get in a 75-mile radius of our campus and just tell the story to the coaches and the players. We kind of thought 100 players would be a break even and get us started. We had 217 guys show up that year. Mm-hmm. That was the first year of the program, 1998, 217 kids. And what you realize is that there's such a love for this game, and because of an inch here or some speed, a little bit of speed or whatever, 10 pounds, guys don't get recruited. And there's so limited number of scholarships, but they still have that fire in their belly and they want to play the game. And it's amazing the quality of people that we've been able to get to the university. And, you know, the location is awesome. It's a great Christian environment. Kids get a great education and then play the game. And the university has allowed us to build an incredible program. We do it first class, and our guys get an opportunity to play in that beautiful stadium. And one thing's just led to another, and it's just been an awesome experience.
When I think of Pete Fredenberg, head football coach at Mary Hardin Baylor, former defensive coordinator at Baylor, when I think of Division III football, the first thing that used to come to my mind, and you've had wins against them, you've faced them before, Mount Union, Whitewater, you know, those are the ones, and there's others as well. When you started in 98, I think those teams were, I know Mount Union's won, like it seems like since, you know, who knows, but did you ever truly think you could get to that level of cruise control where you are now?
You know, I never shied away from the idea that we could. Simply think about this, David. You're in the middle of the best football mm-hmm. in the United States. You're in Texas, and we're in the heart of Texas. And so if we can just get our share of guys that want to continue to play while they're going to get their education, yes, sir, we have a great opportunity, and I think the proof is in the pudding. I just think that we've had an opportunity to get guys that came first and developed such a camaraderie, and the alumni now are our football alumni are very supportive of our program. It just continues to feed on itself, and we're just very blessed to have started it and kind of had a vision of what it was going to take, and it's just taken off, and it's the memories and the guys that we've touched and been involved with is, you know, it's just something that every coach, I think, in the world would love to have the opportunity to do what we've done.
You know, you have won those national titles. You have won multiple national titles, and I know the NCAA had their ruling or whatever, and you had to deal with that. Did that ever cost you at all during recruiting at all? Did anyone ever, like, say, okay, I can't come here?
No, and I think everybody understands that the NCAA, the extra benefits deal is an extraordinary, complicated issue. But, you know, my belief is, thank God people helped Pete Fredenberg along the way. And I never did anything illegal. I just helped guys that needed help. And he loaned an old car of mine mm-hmm. to a kid. And that's what the NCAA pulled that for. But, you know, I still don't know that I wouldn't do it again. Because
yeah.
I just think that, you know, it's a, something that was the youngster needed it, and I had it available, and it was just sitting in my driveway.
Do you think that because of what happened, and Pete, you guys won it again? You won it again
right.
in 2018.
Yes, sir.
And then last year, 12-1. Then this year, do you feel like if you get another one, and you most likely will, you win another one, will that even be more special because of all you've dealt with?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's just such an extraordinary experience to see guys come together and develop the camaraderie and the teamwork and all the things that it takes to win and stay and to win 15 ball games in a row. It's not easy to do, but it's great to see when that happens. We would love to win another one, and that's our goal and that's our aspiration. And these guys that are coming back are eager to do that.
Pete, one couple more things. The season ended on March the 27th. You guys will start back up with drills, I would think, probably practices sometime in August or whenever, play in September. That still seems to be just enough time for the bodies to recover, even though it's a five-game season, not 11, 12, 13, whatever it is. Was that part of the shortened season as well to maybe not push the limit too much, or was it just that's all time you had to get in because there were no postseason games?
Well they started out with saying that it wouldn't affect your eligibility if you stayed with five or less games. But when we started getting and the freeze hit, the cold spell that we had, some yep. COVID incidences that people had canceled games, we were able to push the season back. But there was a time that that all of us were concerned that we don't want to go too far because the fall is right around the corner. And we were fortunate to come out of the season healthy. We're excited about where the guys are. They're lifting right now and doing some conditioning work. And we're going to test them here in the next week or so and see where we're at. But we're really excited of the guys that are coming back and the nucleus of the quality of players that we have. And so, who knows? But we're eager to get going.
Everything happens for a reason. And back when Coach Taft decided to move away as the head coach, Chuck Reedy got the job. Coach Taft became the AD. You eventually go to LSU, and look at where you are now. It gave you this opportunity. But is there still part of you, there's a file in the back of your head or a little piece in your gut that wishes that would have been you that had a chance to take over that program?
Come on, man. You know that when I was at when Coach Taft gave me an opportunity to come in 1980, I fell in love with Baylor University. My wife taught there for 34 years, retired 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor is a big part of our lives, always will be, has been. I love a lot of the people that are there on that campus. Yeah, it was devastating to what happened. And again, the person that I was the very most concerned about was my youngest son. My oldest two children got to go from elementary through high school in Waco, and that is a dream for a coach to be able to have that longevity. And again, I attribute all of that to Grant Taft and the things that he believed in, and thank God I got the opportunity to learn some of those values.
Made me always wonder, with all due respect to whatever happened afterwards, and of course they've had some success in the last decade, a lot of success, a couple of dark clouds, is it could have been a program that had just two or three head coaches over 30 years or so, had the transition stayed and had you been a part of that. I'm not, again, they had some success after Coach left, but not a lot. And then we know they went through a rough patch as well. Pete, man, it's great to hear from you. Thanks for that story about the hotel, the Liberty Bowl, LSU. That was greatness. Thanks for your time, and God bless.
God bless you, too. Thanks very much, David.
Pete Fredenberg, Mary Harden Baylor. They have been on a mission, literally, the last several years after the first 2 years of building that program from nothing, absolutely nothing. When we come back, a couple of notes to wrap up this 3 o'clock hour. In fact, we'll go straight into the Lars Hansen, by the way, is going to join us at 4:45 on JV on Sundays. He's got some people.